Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
The math is mathin' for Austin Hedges.
How about
Stephen Vogel to join us this morning at 8:40?
Two hits yesterday.
He's a good player.
He's a good defensive player.
When he rounded third on the second run that was scored, he looked like that's the fastest he'd ever run in his life. He was hauling so much ass.
I mean, for him, this is tearing the cover off the ball.
How old is he?
He's
up there now. He's getting to Jake Taylor, like, end of major league territory. Yeah, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought he was, like, 42.
He's up there. He's the same age as Jose.
He's only 33? I swear to God, I thought, like, the way they talk about, and the way I talk about him, I mean,
yeah,
I did say.
About him like he's 38, 39.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of said that, like, I thought he was going to be, like, part of the coaching staff, like, next year or something like that. I can't believe he's only 33. Okay, I guess I was wrong. My God. Stephen Vogt going to join us at 8:40. Maybe I'll ask him about that.
He's like a month older than Jose Ramirez.
The Guardians lost yesterday. That's amazing. The Guardians lost yesterday. It doesn't mean that you don't pay attention to the Guardians anymore. In fact, I think that that's going to be brought up in the Unwatchables coming up at around 7:20 this morning because we got... I don't know if there's teams, but there's definitely moments where I was just like, nope, not interested. And the Guardians went up against one big event yesterday, and it was all Guardians. And it wasn't that I wanted even to check in on the other one. It had zero chance against that game yesterday. And usually it's not that way. I don't care who it is, and I don't care whatever their history is. I think that the moment they make the postseason, I think a celebration in the locker room is always going to be, in the clubhouse, is always going to be warranted. It's always going to be something there. And I think it's something that should be celebrated by the fans. I think that this situation especially, I know that they were an ALCS team. I had a lot of pushback on this yesterday on the online by some people because I mentioned it kind of after the show. And I had a lot of pushback about it, and I was a little bit surprised. If they just make the postseason this year, I think it should be something that really should be celebrated and really should be enjoyed by the Guardians and Guardians fans. I do not put everybody in the same boat. And I think that we do that with the two other teams in this town. I don't think everybody is connected here. I think that this team is totally different from its ownership and the restrictions that they give them. And I don't want to bring that up always, 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 but it has to be brought up here. I think that this should be celebrated once they do make the postseason this weekend.
Well,
I'm going to talk confidently about them, and I think it should be celebrated.
Yeah, I'll be jumping up and down and celebrating but and all of that.
The question, I think, is really, is that enough for this Guardians team. Is making the postseason enough? Not even say they make the postseason, but somehow, you know, they, you just don't take two or three against the Texas Rangers, and the Tigers end up bypassing you, and they end up winning the division. Is making the postseason enough for this team? 216-474-0092.
Well, I think that at this point, because, you know, this team, their accomplishments, you know, we talk about comparing the teams all the time. And like the one thing we know about this team is they have such a great reputation. They are able to make the postseason. They've done it time and time again, where when they, you know, if and when they fall in the postseason, like, yeah, I'll it's going to be rough. Like, to do all of this, to go on this historic run, to give us all hope, to make us think that they can, you know, do the unthinkable and make a run again with this offense and their limitations and everything. Like, yeah, if they did all of this and then got matched up with Detroit and then fell, like, we'd be demoralized. We'd be...
I don't think I would.
I'd be in shambles.
I don't think I would. Which is going to make me out to be a yes man and an excuse maker and turn me into Ken Dolan here, even though I've been calling you Anthony Dolan. I think they are two separate things. I am not going to sit there. I will say if they just make the postseason and they end up getting beat next week and then that's it, I will have to come in here and I will have to say the next week, Paul Dolan has let this team go to waste, has let a team with talent, with a lot of potential go to waste. There, if you're coming back, I know the Tigers had to lose a lot for you to get back into this race, for you to do what you did in the month of September with everything that was going against you, with the malaise that was setting in with this fan base. If you're able to do it, I don't care about the division. I care about what this team is. And that would be 2 years in a row that I would have to focus my efforts against Paul Dolan and look at him and go, what have you done to do this, to help this team? Because I can look at the other two owners in town, whether good, bad, or ugly, and we know that. What have they done to try to bring their team to prominence? They've been willing to spend the money to try to do it. They've been willing to keep people in place to try to do it, even against maybe our better judgment. You want a consistency, brother? You got it. You got it, right? But when it comes to the Dolans and when it comes to the Guardians, it's like, hey, if I just make the postseason, that might not be enough, and that's going to be upsetting to a lot of people. But I look at the guys in the clubhouse and go, boy, you really had every reason to get ready for Dominican ball or Venezuelan ball or anything you're doing in the wintertime. You had every single reason to start making your postseason plans, and somehow you were able to round them up and continue to fight and get back in this race, and you make the postseason. I will make a clear difference, and I'll do it all off season long, because I don't think Paul Dolan's going to do anything to really help this ball club during this wintertime. And you're honest about it, too. You made the joke going, oh, just watch him take away from this team if he wants to. I will make a clear difference between the ownership and the baseball team about what they've done. And because I'm defensive of the guys in the clubhouse in that case, just being on the radio, I don't know many of them at all, just being defensive of them on the radio of it, I will say that that's a hell of an accomplishment, and I think that's good enough
but
for this Guardians team.
You wouldn't be livid if it was Detroit celebrating, maybe knocking you off
in
your place?
I'd be upset, yes. I was upset last year when the Yankees won at our place.
Like you don't
and
think,
I had to walk out of there with some guy trying to start fights with everybody.
You don't think the dude that surprised us yesterday, the content creator out of...
I'll take that.
...that we've become friends with,
you
don't
think
he's
going like
to lay in because he's had to hear...
I hope Chris hears this, and I hope
stuff.
And if it happens, I'll take it like a man. Dead ass, I'm fine with it. Go ahead and come after me for it. I'm not supposed to say dead ass anymore. I will be a man about it, and I'll take my beating. I'll be the anti-pony and take my beating like a man. That can happen. But this team, coming back from 15 and a half back, from the proverbial dead, needs to be recognized, and it needs to be mentioned as an accomplishment. That is enough for this Guardians team. Not necessarily for the organization, but for this team, yes. Yes, you have to separate both. Or you're going to be a very, very, miserable fan.
I just think our mind
doesn't...
You're
going to be like the Mike in Akron guy who called in the other day.
I wish it was that way. I just don't think our mind computes that.
Mind's computing it just fine.
When you see another team celebrating, maybe even in your house, and running off the field, I don't think your first thought is, oh, that's a great season. Like in the wild card, especially how we've talked about them all year and how disappointed we were all year about having an ALCS team kind of strip down and then lose, you know, in two different instances, 10-game losing streak, 9-game losing streak. I do not think your mind will default to, yeah, it was a great season.
I'll be sad that the season lost, but I look at it last year, like, I still think, don't kill me for this, but I still think, like, if it, like, say we win the division this weekend, it's great. It's a great accomplishment. But if we lose in the ALDS, to, and I don't know how they size up, so Owen, you know the brackets, I don't necessarily right off the top. Yeah. But say they end up losing to the Yankees in the ALDS, or say they end up losing to Toronto, who had to go all in this year. Everybody was going to get fired, and they made massive investments. Say they lose to one of those teams. Yeah. Like, I'll be more upset if it's Toronto, but it's like, hey, we've been having this conversation about the Yankees this whole time. What if they go to the World Series and lose to the Dodgers? I'm supposed to say that's not good enough? No.
Well, no, you're not going to do that. You're getting further than last year. Nobody would say that.
Okay, fair. But if I lose in the LCS again to a team that has a bigger margin, has a bigger payroll, that's part of the way the baseball goes.
Yeah, I mean,
if
I lose Toronto, do people even know that Toronto's a $250 million payroll?
If I go to the ALCS and lose to Toronto, which is incredible, and you're going to have to continue to say that, especially if we play them. If I go and we lose to Toronto, I'll say it. If you lose to like Seattle or somebody who has kind of sort of similar a payroll, at least I think off the top of my head, you can look it up and maybe prove me wrong here. Because we do have a very low payroll.
Where Seattle is $60 million north of us.
Okay, that's still a significant amount.
And by the way, the Rangers, who are eliminated, right? They had a $220 million payroll.
But that's the point. My ire will be at Paul Dolan.
Which is funny because Paul Dolan would be like, we're better than Texas.
My
Texas has
anger,
spent $120 million
but
more
I would
than
look
us.
At it and go, you could have been so much better. You could have been better. You could have had a better chance. And my anger would be towards Paul Dolan in Major League Baseball. My anger would not be about this team and saying that there needs to be changes. I would think that Paul Dolan is wasting this baseball team. That's what I would say. But I do believe that making the postseason, considering where they were, I think that's enough. I think that's enough. I'm setting myself up to probably be very mad at ownership. I'm not going to be mad about the players on the field.
I think again, 98% of MLB team fans are mad at owners. That's like the easy thing now. Like, even Detroit, they're mad at ownership.
So I'm supposed to be mad at the players on the field?
I just don't think it
matters.
Because
you're telling me I need to be mad lose. So who do I get mad at?
It's a beautiful place for baseball to be that all the fans can just yell at their owners. But what does it matter? I mean, we have great turnouts all week. Like, nobody is thinking about the owners today or tomorrow. It's just the minute the season ends, we go after the ownership. But what does it matter? Like, none of the owners are selling their teams, right? The ones that haven't already. Like, they're not selling their teams immediately because the fans are mad.
Well, it does matter. It does matter.
But like, the Dolans aren't changing way of business, and you're not changing your behavior.
Because there's going
to
be...
Like, are you going to less games next year?
How annoyed.
Not supporting the team?
No, obviously, I'm going to go to games, and I'm going to support the team.
It's set up for us all to go, darn it, I don't like the owner.
But no, let me tell you what it's more about. You were disgusted by that call from that Mike and Akron guy earlier this week. That multiplies.
Yeah.
That multiplies.
Of course it is.
So then you're just more disgusted. So in the long run, you should be very upset, but you should be very upset with ownership.
But that's why I mean, I always go back to...
You shouldn't just say, well, that's baseball. He's part of baseball. He's part of the ownership.
I know, but it really is. It's set up beautifully for baseball for us all to just complain about our owners and then go back to work and go back to going and supporting the team the following year.
I guess I should enjoy this run and say that if they make the postseason, considering where they were just a month ago, that, yeah, that would be satisfactory to me and a hell of a run. And I look at the pitching staff, I feel a lot differently about this pitching staff than I did 2 months ago.
I just think it's something you say today and then come talk to me in a week. I think you'll be a very different Ken Carmen.
Record it all. Record every single syllable of it. I will stand firm on that. 216-474-0092. Is making the postseason enough for the Guardians? Or do they have to accomplish more? Where do you set your bar for this baseball team?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Pivotal series, finishing the season. Yeah, you knew that. Let's just get right to it. Let's go to the fan hotline and let's welcome in Guardians manager Stephen Vogt, which you can see our reactions live on YouTube, by the way. This is totally live at 8:40 and 58 seconds if you're counting at home. Hello, Stephen.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. We're doing real well. We're doing well because the Guardians are doing well. First off, how's David Fry doing?
He's doing better. He was able to come into the field yesterday. Really fired the guys up to see him. Obviously, it was a scary moment the other night. But, yeah, he was able to come in, be in the clubhouse for a little while, and then he had to go back home. But he's doing great. He's a tough guy, man. That was ugly.
How well did you know Tarek Skubal before the car ride over to or the truck ride over to the hospital?
Not very well at all. I'd maybe introduced myself or had, you know, informal chit chat maybe two or three times before that, but what a great person to want to go over there and see David right away. So yeah, it was really special.
Could you talk about the emotions of that entire day? Because I can't imagine, knowing that it seems like all these games are must win, but that one in particular, the crowd was going absolutely bonkers throughout, and then a hushed silence, you know, befell the entire crowd when that went down. And now you still got to play the game. It's not like they cancel the game or you suspend it for another time when everybody can get their emotions back up to a normal level. What was that like? What were you saying to everybody in that dugout?
Yeah, I mean, it's like any other sport, right? I mean, you guys are football guys. So, you know, anytime there's an incident like that, it's scary. You're thinking about your teammate. You're thinking about everybody involved. And then you got to get right back to playing. So, you know, I was really proud of our guys for locking it right back in, because obviously their hearts are with their teammate who's being carted off. But it's a scary moment, but you got to keep moving, and then you check on them after the game. That's just how it works.
Who told you we're football guys?
You know, just going out on a limb that, you know, you guys are football guys.
Stephen Vogt joining us here on the show, manager of your Cleveland Guardians. Well, he knows me pretty damn well over here. How do you keep them loose in the month? The month of August, it's like, gosh. And, you know, again, football guys are going to start paying attention to football in the city. And then, everything's just not going well. And all of a sudden you guys make this run. It's like, well, how did this come from? It's like, well, it's not luck. It can't all be luck. It can't all be jinxes of other teams and things like that. How do you keep them loose, and how do you keep them going positive and not giving up on the year?
I think, you know, there's no other choice when it's, you know, with baseball, 162 games, you have to be in a good mood every day. You have to be happy. You have to love it. You have to show up knowing you're going to win that day. You have to, and it's a choice. You make a choice every single day to show up and put your work in, because you never know with baseball. With baseball, you never know. You're only as good as your starting pitcher and the other team's starting pitcher that night. And you go out and you play well, you take care of your business, you can win every single game. So you just have to keep showing up and stay positive, and there's no other way to do it.
All right, you said showing up. Well, the fans are showing up too, and you told them, you implored them, come on out the final six games. So far, so good. How do you feel about how the fans have responded and knowing that there's still three games and then whatever happens after that?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I couldn't be more thankful for our fans showing up. I mean, it's a playoff energy right now. They are bringing us a playoff energy during this last week of the season. All the players, all the coaches, everyone's commenting on it. We feel it. We feel the excitement. We feel the support, and it means the world to us because these guys have been working so hard. They've gone through so many different tough times and tests and whatever you want to call adversity all year. And for us to be in a playoff position with three games to go and we control our own destiny, I couldn't be more proud of these guys. And it looks like the fans agree. And it's just been so much fun to have a packed out house so far this week.
Stephen Vogt with us on the hotline. So I got to be honest, we referenced this early in the show, and it seems like a lifetime ago when you had to be the chief messenger for a team that was losing 10 straight games. And you guys have had the highs and the lows. And part of the criticism that we had was, man, he sounds the same. Where's the urgency? But was it the same messaging behind the scenes? Because we always used to talk about Tito, how he had such a great handle on over the course of 162, making sure guys didn't get too high and too low. Was there a method to the madness back then?
Of course. You have to stay positive. You know, we talked about it earlier. It doesn't do you any good to kick and scream and yell and show frustration, because once you show frustration, then everybody else gets to show frustration. And once everybody's showing frustration, then you're in trouble. So I had to make sure that I kept positive, and I'm the same person every single day. It doesn't matter how many we've lost or won, and you show up with the excitement and ready to go out there and win and see what happens.
Stephen Vogt joining us on the show. You were a catcher. Bo Naylor's just been better down this stretch. How do you work with him? What's been the catalyst to just being better, both at the plate and obviously behind the plate?
Yeah, first of all, you got Sandy Alomar Jr. working with him and talking with him. So just having someone like that who caught 20 years in the big leagues to lean on has helped Bo tremendously. And but you know what, Bo on the defensive side is turning himself into one of the better defensive catchers in baseball. His game calling, the way he leads that pitching staff, he's right up there with anybody in the game when it comes to that side of the ball. And just with the hitting side, he's made a number of adjustments with his lower half. He's got his lower half right where it needs to be, and he's starting to get some results. He's been hitting the ball hard all year, but it's been getting caught, and now he's getting some results, and it's really fun to watch him thriving down the stretch and leading these guys.
Well, and then you have another catcher who, you know, let's be honest with Hedges, he not exactly there for the offense, but he gets two hits last night, and the way that he is handling, you know, the staff when it's his time, the numbers, the proof is in the pudding, right? I mean, this is pretty incredible that he's that reliable.
Yeah, he's the best defensive catcher on the planet. There's no one better, and he's been swinging the bat. If you look at his numbers over the last month, he's right up there doing well. So Hedgie is a leader. He's our leader in the clubhouse. He's our leader on the bench. He's our leader when he's out there catching. He brings so much energy to these guys, and he has so many, you know, he's got 10 years of knowledge that he can help everybody with. So and now he's starting to see his hard work on his offense pay off by getting some results when he really needs to. But he's been hitting the ball hard and having great at-bats. We couldn't be more blessed with the catching duo that we have.
Is he a future manager?
If he wants to be. If he wants to be, he is. I think Hedgie can do whatever he wants in this game, and I definitely think he could manage one day.
What has Carl Willis done to get this young pitching staff going? Because they've been so much better over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, Carl and the other pitching coaches have really dove in with these guys, and you know they know that they had to be great. And I think, you know, when we had the idea of going to a 6-man rotation, that really helped because everybody got an extra day of rest, which means they got an extra day of working with Carl and the other pitching coaches to refine their stuff, and then they were going on plenty of rest. So, you have a lot of energy, you got a little extra day of rest, and then you got an extra day of work, you're going to go out there and be great. And these guys have just been absolutely lights out.
You said they brought up the six-man rotation, and now it just looks like absolute genius, and other teams have kind of had to react to it. Did you have to have your arm twisted on that? What goes into a conversation, you know, within maybe the organization or just your staff on something like that?
We talked for a while. I mean, we knew we had the 24 games and 24 days stretch coming up, and we knew it was September, and we knew we had a lot of pitchers that didn't have any innings. And when the idea got thrown out, as we talked through it, it was a pretty quick, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. You worry about only having the 8-man bullpen for a, you know, stretch like that. So we had talked, hey, the starters really have to step up and take the sixth inning. And boy, did they, I mean, they were outstanding. They went deep into games and obviously didn't give up any runs. So really proud of them. And it was really fun to watch.
There was a strong conversation a while ago in the dugout after a Tanner Bibee appearance. Was that a turning point for Tanner, or was there more things that he was working on that Carl was and you were working on with him to kind of get this thing going again?
Tanner's made the turnaround. I mean, obviously, we're all there to support him. We're all there to help him. But Tanner's the one that really, he's been working so hard all year, and he's been super consistent, you know, for the last couple months. But, you know, things happen in 162 games when you're around each other more than your family for 8 months. You know, things happen like that all the time, and we've learned from it. But Tanner's done this on his own. I mean, we've all supported him, we've all helped him, but he's the one that really has clicked it in when it matters.
When did you start scoreboard watching, and you know, how do you make sure that doesn't become a distraction, even though, you know, you guys are on the brink, on the verge of history now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't personally scoreboard watch, but there's plenty of people around me that are telling me what's going on, so I don't need to worry about that. But, you know, I think we're all watching, we're all peeking, we're all wondering, you know. But, you know, it's like I told our guys, the way that our season has been, the everything that you guys have been through, everything that we've gone through as a group, no one's going to help us. We got to do this on our own. And that's what I'm so proud of these guys for, and they have. They've gone out and they've won all these games. They've put themselves in this position to where we're going into a weekend home series at Progressive Field with the best baseball fans on the planet with a chance to win our way into the postseason. You can't ask for anything more than that. Like, that is the best scenario possible.
Do you believe in jinxes?
No.
No jinxes. So a radio show host can't jinx you.
I mean, if you want to take the risk, go ahead. It's your show. So I'm just the guest. So it's up to you.
No.
You're the one that's going to have Cleveland on your back if it happens. I don't believe in them, but if you do, then that's on you.
That's a very good point.
Tell them why you're asking.
No, you tell them why. You're the one who jinxed them.
I had the nerve, and look, I thought that I had a responsibility to make sure to educate the
fans.
Yeah,
now he wants to be a journalist.
But that you guys were on verge of even more history by having this incredible number with the starters, you know, giving up two runs or less, and you were threatening, I think, a team from 1918 for an all-time MLB record.
17.
I just thought fans would like to know that. I thought fans would be interested in knowing that now I'm being accused of jinxing the team after yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, it's how you choose to look at it. I mean, if, you know, obviously it's an unbelievable run by our starting pitching, and it's going to end at some point. So, but, you know, Parker was really good last night. Just a couple pitches over the middle that they didn't miss, and that's what they do. They hit homers.
Say you win tonight. Your game starts at 7:10 Eastern. The Astros start a lot later. Will you watch the Astros games tonight or tomorrow like they're a March Madness team, like you're a March Madness team?
No, we will not. We will be going. We're going to go home right after the game, and I'm sure everybody's going to be watching, and, you know, we'll see. But we have to take care of our end of it. We have to win our game, and that's really all that matters. And, again, I know people get sick of me saying it, but all we can control is winning today, and then we worry about tomorrow. So we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out when we wake up in the morning, but we got to come out ready to play tonight and get a win.
Has there been any message, the communication between David Fry? Is anything said, you know, other than the obvious?
I mean, as far as what?
Yeah, I think of somebody who obviously is, you know, through thick and through thin after what you guys and him, what he was able to help accomplish last year, that it's got to stink that he can't be there with you guys. Is he issuing the charge like, like, go out there and let's rally around and let's do whatever it takes, because, you know, this stinks that he's not going to be able to be with the team.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, definitely. I mean, the guy's brought his jersey down to the dugout. And, I mean, David's one of our biggest leaders. He's been a huge part of our team, not only on the field, but in the dugout and the clubhouse. And these guys love each other, man. I mean, it's you, like I told you, you're 8 months. You're with each other more than you're with your family, and you're traveling. You're going everywhere every single day, and day in and day out, they are supporting each other, and David's been a big part of that. So absolutely, the guys want to rally for David.
What do you, Stephen Vogt joining us on the show, manager of the Guardians, what do you do to relax and center yourself?
Oh, man. When I get a chance to, I like to go just hit some golf balls or play golf. But honestly, I like to just try to turn off. I watch Cheers, The Office, Seinfeld, you know, comedy movies, just anything to do that, because it just turns my brain off and I'm able to relax. But that's for me. I'm a pretty simple guy, I guess.
Cheers?
Yeah.
We're like kind of in this. Wait a minute. How old are you?
I'm 40.
Yeah, we were like both kids. Cheers. That's interesting. Like, The Office makes sense, or some of the other ones make sense. Cheers is still a little bit before
the Diane years, or the
how could you not watch Kirstie Diane Alley years?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, the Diane years are my favorite for sure.
Yeah, Diane. But, yeah.
Coach is really he's the best character. Oh, but yeah. No, I used to watch Cheers with my dad when I was a kid, and he would always watch Cheers, so he got me on that.
That's awesome. What when you guys do make the postseason, what is the message to the team? Or you don't have to tell us if you don't want
to. Ken, don't jinx them.
Now I'm worried about it. Now I'm worried about jinxing the guy. Should I even ask you that question, or should I just not ask that question? We just end the interview.
Here's what I'll say. We've been hot all September. Let's stay hot. If we stay hot, we have to take care of our business. We have to play our game. Let's stay hot, and you never know what can happen. This is baseball. It's crazy. I'm super proud of our guys. I couldn't be more thankful that we're in this position. And thank you, thank you, thank you to the fans for showing up. We definitely feel your energy. Keep bringing it all weekend long.
Steven, thank you so much for the time. Continued success. We're all pulling for you. Take care.
No, I appreciate it, guys.
Steven Vogt, Cleveland Guardians manager. Thanks to Owen for the question, by the way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Number to join us, 216-474-0092. We'll be taking some more phone calls coming up in a little bit. But joining us now, he is a big-time columnist for MLB.com. He covers baseball like nobody's business. He started covering the Guardians as an intern back in the day when they were called the Indians. He's our local guy. I wonder if he's as dumbfounded about all this as we are. Let's find out. Anthony Castrovince joining us on the fan hotline. Hello, Anthony.
Hello, boys. How are you?
I must tell you, I've not been able to get over this. And okay, Guardians are red hot. That's amazing. It's stunning. Tigers collapsing on top of it. I mean, both of these things had to happen. Neither one is likely. They both did. And now the Guardians have a chance to win the division or get into the playoffs or the wild card. It's stunning to me that both of these things have happened because it doesn't happen in baseball.
No, it doesn't. And I've seen, you know, there's a lot of discussion on which is more amazing, the Tigers collapse or the Guardians surge. But, I mean, there's no wrong answer there. But the Guardians have done it in the head-to-head. I mean, it's hard to win five games in this environment in a row against a division opponent, much less one that, you know, as poorly as they're playing right now, the Tigers do have a quality roster. They wouldn't be in this position otherwise. So, you know, they went in the Bronx a couple weeks back and won a series against the Yankees. So, I mean, they still have it in them to win baseball games. It's just they cannot beat the Guardians right now. It's an incredible thing to watch. And you watch, you know, a Scooble start fall apart with one just truly bonkers inning, like even by guards ball standards. You know, they don't hit a ball past the pitcher's mound and are able to come back there. So it's really just been – it's historic. It's alarming. It's everything. None of us can believe what we're seeing. You could watch literally more than 100 years of baseball and not see what we have just seen in the last few weeks.
So is it an uprising or is it a collapse? What tell me what you think, and then how do you think it plays nationally?
Yeah, if I have to pick one, because the answer is both. The correct answer is both. But if you have to pick one, I'm here in Cleveland. I'm going to go with uprising. And I think that the pressure that they have placed on the Tigers has caused them to collapse. How about that? Like, I don't know if the collapse happens unless you have somebody in your rear view every day getting hot and doing what the Guardians have done, you know, away from their games against the Tigers. And then these two get on the field and there's something about the Guardians' style of play that is just completely unnerving and unraveling the Tigers. So it's the Guardians putting the pressure on and causing the collapse. Let's go with that.
The pitching stat is unbelievable. The starters giving up two or fewer in 19 straight. Did you, at the beginning of the year, I thought, okay, they have some question marks here in this rotation. Ben Lively was in the rotation. Luis Ortiz was in the rotation. It's stunning again that this organization has hit on 5-6 guys that have been able to be this effective down the stretch. Do you have any inside info on how the heck this team does it with pitching?
Well, and by the way, they traded their most accomplished pitcher. God, he had thrown a pitch for them this season, but Shane Bieber has pitched well down the stretch for the Blue Jays. So they traded their most accomplished pitcher and a guy who was said, you know, expected to deliver value down the stretch had the team been in this position. And then they weren't at the deadline and they get rid of him. And lo and behold, they're in this position anyway, because they still have that pipeline and they still have Carl Willis, who I think is just, you know, an incredible resource in terms of helping a very analytically minded organization not keep their eye off the ball in terms of, you know, the mentality behind pitching. And, you know, you got a guy like Gavin Williams struggling at the beginning of the year and there was a good argument to send him down. I know Carl Willis kind of stood up for him in that moment and said, no, this guy's got to keep pitching the big leagues, you know. Slade Ciccone. I always want to say Ciccone. We joked about it in spring training. We're both Italian and both of our names are mispronounced. They're Americanized. So Slade Ciccone, who should be Slade Ciccone.
Wait, Slade?
I know that was just me misspeaking. No, Slade. That was me like,
I'm joking. I'm just, I know you.
So my guy Ciccone, has really made the most to come to this organization, and that's not the first time that's happened here. So they're analytical, but they're also old school in terms of how they approach pitching, and I think that makes a big difference for them. But yeah, and the six-man thing, I mean, that's kind of where the game has trended lately, is to give starters 5 days rest instead of what used to be the traditional four. We're seeing that more and more in MLB, and you know, they went to that six man down the stretch. It was a pointed thing. It was a scheduling thing with the doubleheader, you know, the Twins in their mind. And they really managed that very well. I mean, the results speak for themselves.
Let's talk about Stephen Vogt here. That story, I heard it a couple times before yesterday. And then they played it. They talked about it during the broadcast. The thought of blasting music and having fun after losing a game in Minnesota before they came back just seems like this novel idea. But he recognized that his team has been playing great, and so what? We lost one game. We got to pick it up because, we've watched this team all year. We saw them streak. They took a loss. In the back of some people's minds, they're like, oh, boy, I hope this doesn't go the other way, even after one game. But then he recognized what was going on with his team. I thought the point last night was, you know, last year was your rookie year, and that this year he has got to have learned so much more about being a manager. Your thoughts on Stephen Vogt.
Yeah, what can you say? Just an incredible start to a managerial career, and to come into a situation where you're replacing a true legend, you know, in the dugout. That's a difficult situation. On top of all the roster concerns they had last year, going into last year, they weren't counted as a contender. He recognized early that he had something special brewing in that bullpen, and he really put the foot to the floor with that. I thought, and I think we have seen that at times this year, like that did have a lag effect, you know, going into this year. You know, Emmanuel Class A, beginning of the year was struggling, of course, you know, uncharacteristic for him. You're just going to have that, you know, when you push the bullpen so hard one year, it's hard to repeat that the next. And they have not repeated that historic performance, but lo and behold, they've still been able to go on this late season run because of what we mentioned, with the way the starters have performed. And, you know, he does push the right buttons, generally speaking, in the bullpen. And, you know, they've had some unheralded guys really step up there, the Sobrowskis of the world, you know. So, or I think of, Colby Allard coming in the other day in a big spot in Detroit and had to pitch in a couple of weeks. I mean, that stuff is, that's harder than it looks, man. So, I give him a lot of credit for, you know, keeping things steady. And this season could have easily spiraled. It really did spiral there. You lose 10 games in a row just before the break and you're 15 and a half back. I mean, they were dead by any mathematical measure. They were dead. They had a 0% chance, basically, of winning this division. And so how do you not let that spiral? How do you come back from – I actually believe their Fangraphs odds a month ago were 0.0%. Now, I'm sure if you take it out a few more decimal places, there must have been a 1 in there somewhere.
Right.
And they found that 1, to their credit. It's just really – it's a mathematical miracle.
Anthony Kastrovitz joining us from MLB.com. We can talk about the pitching all day long. Have they found something here? Angel Martinez, Brian Rocchio, Gabe Arias, George Valera, John Kenzie Noel, Petey Halpin, CJ Cephas. Now, they're not all doing big things right now, but that's a lot of young guys who are up here and getting at bats and playing and helping this team right now. Have they stumbled onto some guys here that might be something?
I don't know. You know, Angel Martinez is a really fascinating player to me because I can't tell you how many times I've called up his stats this year thinking there must be something that looks good on paper. You know, he's got like a negative WAR. He's got a sub 700 OPS. He just doesn't have good numbers. There's no way you could look at his numbers. Like if you had not watched his team and you looked at their season stats and you came across Angel Martinez, you go, well, this guy stinks. But I don't know, man, I've watched him all year. I'm like, this is a good little player, you know.
I kind of like him too. I know.
Yeah, you plug and play, and just I don't know, his energy is so bizarre to me. So he's the perfect example of how, you know, baseball can go beyond the numbers. You know, it really can. So it's weird how a team can come together late like this. Now they offensively, you know, they were deep in the red in run differential going to September. They were literally, you know, by OPS, they were as bad as the Pittsburgh Pirates and dead last in MLB going into September. They've come alive offensively. And I've had, you know, Bo Naylor has been terrific. CJ Cephas has been terrific down the stretch. But there is some bit of, you know, mathematical magic taking place there as well offensively, where, you know, they're able to string an inning together like they did against Skubal the other day. They hustle. You know, those things play. Now, do you want to, you know, build your team like that every year? I still can't advocate for that. You know, as much success as they had last year and this year, I would still advocate for getting a banger in the lineup, a guy who can play every day and hit the ball over the fence. Like, that would sure be nice to have, you know, to augment, you know, what they have in Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan. But my goodness, I mean, it's amazing what they're able to get with what they have.
Is there any way you're tinkering with the rotation here?
No, just let it ride, man. This is, they have a real momentum going. They're feeding off of each other. They're using the extra rest to their advantage, with these guys. And no, it's just let it ride. You know, there'll be a tough, matchup.
If for some reason Sunday becomes a must win, you're probably flipping Williams back into that spot, right?
Yeah, probably. But, boy, I know they're really hoping they can avoid that scenario and just get this done. If they win tonight, man, it's your magic number's down to one.
Right.
And you're in a really good spot. You know, just win one game against the Rangers Friday or Saturday, or expect the Tigers to lose a game Friday or Saturday, which seems pretty likely. So, yeah, I mean, that stuff is something. They'll cross that bridge when they come to it, but I know they're trying to avoid that.
Mm. Anthony Cassidy.
Because you think about the advantage they would have. Let's say it's the Tigers in the wild card spot.
Right.
Whoever it is in the wild card spot is likely coming down to the final day of the season, it would appear. And that means whoever you are playing will have burned their best pitcher on Sunday and then has to come here on Tuesday, you know, if you win the division. So that's just a great scenario where you could have, if you could have your rotation reasonably rested and your opponent is not rested and you're hosting those three best of three here, I mean, that's a really good spot. Mm-hmm.
What would you think? I don't know how this would play. Guardians, Tigers in the playoffs.
Well, the only problem there is just, you know, just the law of averages, right?
How many times
can you beat a team in 3 weeks in baseball? It's really hard to do, but they've made it look easy last week and this week, but it's a lot harder than it looks. These teams know each other very well.
And I think that the overall series number is exactly tied or as close. Yeah. It was within one game. As of last night.
It's been a really fun thing to track in the last year, where they finally played, you know, the first time they ever played each other in playoffs was last year, which is crazy for as long as they've been around. But of course, you know, the playoff format hasn't always been this way. But it's pretty nuts how the all-time record against each other is so close.
I think this is usually overblown. In this case, I don't think it is. Jose Ramirez is clearly, you know, the best player on this baseball team. And he plays the game in such a way that it's infectious. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, I think that's a lot of lip service. In this case, I don't think it is, Anthony, because of the way the young guys kind of follow suit and play in a similar scrappy style. Is there any validity to that?
Oh, absolutely. I wish, you know, I mean, we have limitations. We have so many numbers in baseball, and yet there's still an inherent limitation on it. I was arguing about this on Twitter this morning where, you know, I think Cal Raleigh should be the AL MVP. He doesn't have the offensive numbers of Aaron Judge. It's very clear. He's just shy of Judge. If you look at like Fangraphs wins above replacement, but how do you put numbers on, you know, getting dinged up behind the plate and the daily preparation with the pitching staff, and they've used 30 something pitchers and it's one of the best staffs in baseball. I mean, he's a big part of that. So it's hard. It's hard to get to a player's true value with numbers alone. And that's definitely the case with Jose. You know, how do you put a number on the money he left on the table, you know, for them to do other things? Granted, they haven't done much around him, but the fact that they're able to do anything around him is a credit to him taking way below market value contract. You know, maybe he might have left, he could have doubled the number perhaps. So, and then what you're saying, hustle, and how does that, you know, bleed into the predominantly young roster? I think they have seven guys who are position players who've played 100 games for them and are, you know, pre-arbitration. It's still a young team, and it's still feeding off the energy of this dynamic 33-year-old who, you know, throws up 30 homers, 30 doubles, 30 steals every year. He's everything to them. So how do you put a number on that? You can't.
Agreed. I hope you'll talk to us next week, and I hope we're talking about baseball games and not planning the off season. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, it looks good.
Sports Talk on 92.3 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries, yet forcing him to fight for everything he's built and protect for his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Your favorite Dwight, is it that guy? Is it Dwight Schrute?
Oh, Schrute.
Is it Dwight White?
Gooden?
Is it former high jumper Dwight Stones?
Ooh.
Is it Dwight Gooden?
I'm going to go Schrute. Can never have enough good beats.
I think I might have to go Schrute too, but Dwight White was fun. That guy could play. Welcome back to Basket of Phelps. Dwight Phelps here. Dwight Baskin over there.
Yep.
Anthony just informed us, as you know, it's close. It's close. Guardians win tonight. Astros lose tonight. Boom, playoffs. At least the wild card. And the Astros are playing this afternoon. So pay attention to that.
Ooh, that's good. We could see that early.
Yeah, pay attention to that. You would think, you know, we're too logical with some of this.
Mm-hmm.
You would think the Tigers are just due to win a game. And they're going up against a rookie pitcher for the Guardians today. And they know that they've been scraping and they got to come up with a game. So, you know, your head tells you, well, the Tigers are due to win one. Your heart tells you, let's go, baby. Let's finish this thing off.
Your pitching's been so good. I don't know.
It sure has. Yeah. It sure has. And Messick's been a nice part of that. You know, the one thing about this team late, and I say late, you know, we celebrated earlier, they no longer have the worst batting average in Major League Baseball. It's the second worst batting average in Major League Baseball. So, see, you're on your way up. But it's been interesting to see this organization stick some young guys out there on the field and actually have them produce. And I, you know, when Anthony Castrovince was with us very early on the show, you know, I mentioned Angel Martinez, George Valera, who's come up. John Kenzie Noel last year was so much fun, and this year has struggled like crazy, but still. Jonathan Rodriguez is now up with the injury to David Fry. Petey Halpin has made his major league debut here during this stretch. Parker Messick has come up, you know, pitcher-wise, position player-wise. CJ Cephas has stepped in and done a really nice job. I wonder if any of these guys are long-term answers for anything, but it's been interesting to see, to me, here they've brought young guys up in the heat of a pennant race when it's basically you got to keep winning or you're not going to make it. And they've put together this incredible stretch. And I think the young guys have actually elevated their games. And Rocchio and Arias, you know, they've been here. But, man, they've done a really nice job. And Rocchio, to me, Rocchio looks like the real deal at second base. Man, he's really
especially good. Especially defense. I don't think we're giving the Guardians enough credit for how great the defense has been in this run.
Been really good.
I mean, just every once in a while, they come up, you're like, whoa. I'm just thinking back to even last night, plays at third, plays in left. You know, the other thing that was weird was in game one, and we didn't really touch on this either, 19 strikeouts?
Yeah.
I mean, the Tigers struck out 19 times. Wow.
Rocchio reminds me of Andrés Giménez at second base sometimes. You know, and he's just, like Andrés, he was a shortstop. You know, Giménez was a shortstop and moved to second base when he can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
And he's as good as anybody defensively in the game. And Rocchio is going that way. And I don't want to get away from the point of this too much. And the point is, you got a chance to clinch a playoff spot tonight. You have a chance to win the division. Magic number. Coming up, here we go.
You do know what our longest streak against the Tigers is, too. Like like winning six in a row isn't anything. We'd rattled off 20 straight against them,
which means absolutely nothing now.
Back in the past, so it's not. I mean, it's not that what they're doing now isn't crazy. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yes, it is.
One team beating another team,
the Tigers.
That's
were,
not crazy.
Tigers were a dominant team all season long.
I get that. I understand that part. If you look at it from a sliver of this season, yeah, I agree with you on that. But
the Tigers
historically
stunk for a while.
Yeah. And the other thing too is, I mean, these teams are exactly at 500 lifetime between the two organizations. So I just think it's crazy.
Not to get too far down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Would you try and teach Travis Bezzana to play the outfield?
I know you would. So no, I don't know that I would.
But see, that's if they like Arias,
okay,
they're going to play him at short because his arm doesn't play at second base. I don't think his arm is so big that you got to play him at shortstop. And that means Rocchio plays second. Rocchio looks, man, he's really good defensively.
Right.
I've not seen Bazzana play second base on any kind of a regular basis to tell you if he's a good defender or not. And if possible, and you could turn that guy into an outfielder, that might be what you want to do.
I don't know. I don't know what kind of an arm he has from the outfield.
I don't either.
Like, I don't know what he's going to look like defensively.
Everybody
I don't
said know he can't play shortstop.
Bazzana can't.
That's all right. The rumblings I've heard, which means if you can't play shortstop, it's probably because of the arm, which makes you think you probably can't play the outfield either. Yes? No?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if you're thinking about him, I don't feel. If you're drafting a guy number one overall in college, you would think that the spot that you're pulling him from is probably the spot where he's going to stay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think you've got a phenomenal option playing second base right now. And he's hitting. And he's scrappy, and I like him.
Maybe you trade one of those two. I really want to talk about trading anybody right now because of where they are. But you're right. They're going to have to find a spot for Bazzana at some point.
The rotation depth is fun. I wonder what that looks like moving forward next year. I wonder.
Not worried about it. Sorry,
I know you're.
We want to kind of talk about it a little bit. Just tell me what we're going to look like tonight, man.
You tell me. What are we going to look like tonight?
I think we're going to look like the same baseball team we put out there the last couple of nights with a different pitcher. What do you want me to say?
Ladies and gentlemen, expert analysis from Andy Baskin.
Thank you. I'll be teaching Mets.
He asked. I threw it back at him, and that's what we get.
Yes, I will be teaching Mensa at the Quad C campus located in the middle of Lake Erie as well. I just add another C to Tri-C. I can't even think of another C.
I look at how they've done this and who they've done it with, and I keep looking for an answer. How'd this happen? And I think Stephen Vogt, it's easy to say what a great job, except he hasn't been out there, you know, doing it. And you could say, boy, the front office knew what they were doing. Well, okay, except for one thing when it comes to the offense. They've had the worst offense in baseball most of the year, or one of them, arguably.
The front office has got to be saying, we definitely got lucky here. We get it. We understand.
Well, that question.
If they didn't say that,
and
I talk about I have zero respect for them.
They know that.
They know that part of this is luck. There's no question.
Well, the guys started playing well at the right time. And go figure. You know what I mean? Go figure. How does that happen?
Jeff,
it's just fascinating to me.
I know what you want to hear. Don't you want to hear it? You know what you want to hear. 6 o'clock, 70 degrees, a little bit of rain tonight. 7 o'clock, sun peeking through the clouds, 68 degrees. 8 o'clock, you get the moon with some clouds out there, 68 degrees, 38% chance humidity. 9 o'clock, maybe another chance for some showers tonight, 66 degrees.
Well, we have to get past that then.
So, I don't know. Could we be looking at a delay, a possible little sprinkle delay in the 9 o'clock hour tonight? Or maybe a 7:15 start yesterday didn't bother me either, by the way. I didn't think that was that big a deal. Did you?
No, I was actually out and turned on the radio to hear the beginning of the game, and instead I heard Led Zeppelin, so I thought I was good to go.
Shower early, partly cloudy. That's what I'm looking at right here. It's my extended forecast through AccuWeather.
It's so strange because, can we be honest? With the streak that each one of these teams has been on, it feels like the Guardians have wrapped up a playoff spot.
I'm not going there yet. Because this thing could turn pretty quick.
It's so tight. I was getting there, Andy.
I just thought you'd jinxed it a little, though. I've been very optimistic.
Yeah, because anything we say in this dusty old studio is really going to impact the guys over at the corner.
You know, so everyone has their own little superstitions. It doesn't matter whether you think you are influencing or not. You know that if you did something, if they were on a 10-game winning streak and you had a bag of M&Ms before that first game, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there the second game and there was another bag of M&Ms, you'd eat them. And if you know what, you'd go out and buy him for the third game. You would do it, and you know you have nothing to do with it, but yet you would still do it because you think, oh, I can't change the ways what I'm doing now because they're on a winning streak. And for sure you would do that with the Browns. You know you would sit in the same exact chair if you knew that they won on a game-winning, wherever they were last week, right? Wherever they were last week, if you were sitting at home watching it on TV, and if it came down to a field goal at the end of the game this week against the Lions, you will find the seat you were sitting in last week. And don't tell me you wouldn't, because if you wouldn't, you're a liar. You know I'm right.
So getting back to my point, it's a
superstition.
It's a magic number of three.
Yes.
And the incredible comeback and the incredible collapse has made this feel like they've already accomplished something.
They have accomplished something.
Well, they accomplished getting back into it, but they haven't accomplished the ultimate goal for now,
which That's is correct.
The first goal, getting into the playoffs. You have a magic number of three with four to play. So, and something needs to give. If they could finish off this sweep of Detroit, it would be stunning. And that makes your magic number one. I would be very confident there. Because the Tigers still have three to go against Boston. Boston may or may not have something to play for. I think they can wrap up a wild card spot tonight. And then you'd have to go out and beat Texas one game. One game. If you can beat Detroit tonight. You don't even have to worry about Detroit. You just take one out of three from Texas and you'd have it done. But I think we all need to remember, we can get over our giddiness as to where this is right now, which we never expected it to be. And know that there's still work to be done. You can be sure the players know that. You can be sure, you know, nobody's getting too giddy over there, the ballpark.
What again, I thought you guys said this, and I was looking up before the show today, and I'm just not 100% sure, so I just want to, what is the Guardians' magic number just to clinch a playoff spot? Is it still three, or is it?
It's two. A Guardians win and an Astros loss will get it done tonight.
Okay. And the Astros are playing today, right?
This afternoon.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Ooh. That's the easiest scenario right now.
It's so close.
I know.
So close.
And that's why I think we have to temper our enthusiasm just this little much. Okay, there's still work to be done.
Yes.
There's still work to be done.
Yes.
There's still a segment to be done.
Yes, there is.
On Baskin and Phelps.
John Fanta, NBC Sports, joins us now on the Fan Hotline. Somebody's here to take his victory lap. There we go, John.
Here we go, fellas. Here we go. I think I'm walking, taking the lap, and it might be the only time I ever take one because I'll be far more wrong than right. But how about this run? How about this ball club? I'm 30, all right? I just turned 30 in July. I was thinking about this. This is the most surprised I have ever been by a Cleveland sports team, and it is not remotely close. This is shocking, stunning. I mean, I didn't quit on it. Nick Wilson, you and I were texting when this team was like 10 back about them and still watching the games and taking it all in. But to see them, I thought they'd be in the wild card race, guys. I thought they'd hang around in that because, to me, the third wild card in both the American and National Leagues, it's weak. I mean, it is weak. If the Tigers end up making it, they're more than limping. The Astros, who nobody wants it, apparently, that third wild card. The Astros have been terrible this week against the Athletics. I thought the Guardians would hang around there. I didn't have them entering tonight with a chance to put the nail in the coffin in the Tigers for the division race. This is unbelievable. It's why we love sports. It is so much fun. Savor it, Cleveland.
So with that, I said today that after watching Tuesday on Pins and Needles and just living and dying with every moment, last night I did the same, but in the seventh inning I was like, they got this, and I'm going to go to bed. Mm-hmm. They hadn't even gotten the fourth and fifth runs yet, and I just knew they were going to win, and as I was walking upstairs to bed, fourth and fifth run score, and I kind of chuckled, and I said, I guess I can go to sleep now. John, I went to sleep in the seventh inning, all right? I was out. I was done because I just knew they were going to get the win. I've never done that as a Cleveland fan in any sport.
No. And this team's made it possible. And I agree with you. Like, even last night, as much as we were stressed watching the game, because these are playoff games, when they went down, I don't know how you guys felt, when they went down 1-0, Yeah, I was thinking like, that's all right. You know, it's only one. There, you got. I always say you got to score to win, and I have faith that this team is going to find a way to score. I really do, and I have even more faith that right now the best trait of this ball club is that what have they gone 18 consecutive starts in which their starters have allowed two runs or less. I mean, give a hat tip to this rotation. Give an applause to this rotation. Tanner Bibee would probably tell you he was like a C plus B minus last night overall. He was fighting it. And he gave everything he had to that outing and grinded it out. And I thought when he left runners at the corners there, it was huge to get out of that jam. The starting pitching has been absolutely fantastic. And this bullpen has caught a mojo about it that says if the Guardians are leading in the sixth inning or later, last year, you know, yeah, they had Class A. Yes, they had a good bullpen. But remember, the bullpen blew some leads last year and ended up struggling in the postseason overall. I'm really curious to see if they can carry this into the playoffs, because right now you're entering these games and you're saying, hey, we get to four runs and we really have a good shot of winning. And the way this team is, sometimes their best at-bats, fellas, are the at-bats where they're actually producing an out, but they're going 8 to 12 pitches. What this Guardians team is doing right now is they are making every pitcher work. You might not see it in the first or second inning in the runs column or even the third inning, but they're making it very difficult. They foul a ton of pitches off, and they just grind it out. They have caught a wave, and it feels like a wave that can be sustainable. It really does. Hell, it has been this month. But I'm with you, Nick. When we got to the seventh inning last night, I was like, even at 3-1, I'm like, they've got this. This team, they don't just believe. They know they're going to win. And that's a powerful thing. That's culture.
John, I remember going through the times where, obviously, earlier this season, you went, you know, 10 games straight losing. You went 1-9 over a 10-game stretch. And I remember being in those moments, listening to Stephen Vogt after the games and being like, there's no fight here, right? Like, he says all of the positive things about this team, and he never takes his shot. Obviously, to have them turn around, Vogt had a pulse on the clubhouse. He had a pulse on what needed to be said in front of his team and then behind closed doors. What does it say just for him to have that feel on his team and know that there was something there and to be able to pull it out of them?
Well, it says that he should be considered for manager of the year. And right now, I'd put him right there. You know, I know Seattle's a terrific story, and you could argue on that behalf. Toronto's obviously a really good story. But to me, Stephen Vogt's the manager of the year in Major League Baseball because his team looked dead and buried, and they just showed the value of a 162-game season. And oh, by the way, that would give him back-to-back years of achieving that fee. And you think about this, guys, in sports, what's the percentage, Nick and Jake, what's the percentage of coaches who have success replacing the guy? What would you put the percentage at?
Maybe 20% if you're lucky.
I probably would have went lower.
I actually would even lean towards like 10%. But okay, somewhere between 10 and 20%. Let's say 15 to call it even. It's one thing to replace and be good. How about replacing in year one, making the American League Championship Series with a team that nobody had doing that last year? How about this year engineering potentially the greatest divisional comeback to a division title that we have ever seen in the history of baseball? What he's done is, in the first 2 years on the job, he's bought an incredible amount of trust. He's paid off for Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff. And I mean, I know people are gonna scoff or roll their eyes, but at the end of the day, you don't select a manager without your top people approving. So Paul Dolan employs those people who made this hire, and I'd like to think that he had some say in who got the managerial job. All the people that are in that front office, they don't give themselves a pat on the back publicly because they're not cocky and they kind of live in the shadows, and I think it should be appreciated with Antonetti. Like, he's not out there, you know, touting himself and taking victory laps. Hey, he kind of, if asked a question, he'll give availability, but He's just not like that. And that those people deserve the credit, because Stephen Vogt has just bought himself at least 3, 4, 5 years more in Cleveland. I'm not saying this is going to go sideways anytime soon, but I don't think you could have asked for a better, and we haven't even gotten to the playoffs yet. You couldn't have asked for a better start to a managerial tenure for a guy who's replacing someone who people in Cleveland said when Terry Francona's time was up in Cleveland, you know, people look at the whole track record and they say, well, best manager in Cleveland baseball history, most consistent, winning era. Will he get a statue someday? Like, all those things are real. And I just think for Stephen Vogt to take over and feel comfortable in his own skin and take on the criticism, like, look, he took a lot of heat earlier this season, from myself included. And I'm not saying he's perfect, but which manager is? You know, it's easy for us to say sometimes, oh, I would have gone with that guy. Oh, I would have gone with that guy. I also do think, and I think Stephen would admit this, and I think we're all seeing this right now. You even saw some of the dugout video last night. How invaluable is Carl Willis, fellas? This guy just, he's been around this organization for so long. You can tell how comfortable the pitchers are, and we kind of laugh. But every time Carl Willis goes out and sees somebody on the mound for a visit, it's like he's the whisperer. Last night he did it with Tim Herron, and it's like, when he went out there, I'm like, yeah, Herron will probably figure it out here, because that's what Carl does. Carl Willis is as invaluable a pitching coach as you're going to find in Major League Baseball. But Stephen Vogt, he's not territorial. He's not combative. He has fit the Guardians culture perfectly. He deserves Manager of the Year. And Cleveland, you've got a baseball manager for a long, long time. This won't just be his last postseason or division title. The setup is there for years of success.
And you still haven't given him something close to a complete roster, which is another thing you got to think about. John Fanta, NBC Sports on the Fan Hotline, Cleveland's own huge Guardians fans, huge Cleveland sports fan as well. One school of thought is you played the Tigers so much down the stretch, you might want to avoid them in that first round because, quite frankly, they know you better than anyone in baseball right now. Do you subscribe to that theory, or do you want to bring on the Tigers in that first round?
Bring them on. I don't care who it is. This team is not afraid of anybody. They're not afraid, and I know people get squirrely about continuing to match up with teams, and, you know, you could say Detroit's due. Yeah, look, that's what stinks about the wild card series. It is three games. I would counter and say it's better than just a one-game playoff. Would you guys agree? Wouldn't you be more squirrely if it was one game, one singular game, right?
Yeah.
Like the three-game deal. Let's just say Detroit gets one. Okay. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, it's over, it's done. The Guardians, they're comfortable against Detroit pitching. You know, you don't know if and Houston's stumbling here and they're struggling themselves. I guess my vantage point is get home field, maybe have a chance to take a breath on Saturday and or Sunday, you know, take a beat, get ready for whatever the wild card series holds. And right now this team, I mean, they've won 17 of their last 19 games. They're peaking at the right time. And I don't want if they go out and they lose the wild card series and then people are like, oh, what a, you know, obviously it'd be a gut punch. It would stink. But that's playoff baseball. You got to go out and play, and you got to put your best foot forward. I'd much rather be in the Guardians' position. You think the Tigers want to see this team again in Cleveland, which right now is a house of horrors for them? I do not think so. I just don't see it. If I'm the Guardians, I'm more than comfortable facing the Tigers. Hell, they went to Houston. One of the points in their season where I thought they were about to be really, really dead was when they went to Houston. And if you remember, they swept the Astros in Houston. I just don't think this team, Stephen Vogt, and Vogt inspires this. You know, to Vogt's credit, I'm watching Terry Francona's Reds right now, and the Reds have lost twice to the Pirates. They look tight. They look tight. They're playing tight, and they're struggling. And Stephen Vogt's got his ball club playing loose, playing ready. Even last year against the Yankees had more talent than the Guardians, and their big bombers were the difference in the series. What you could not say, and every Yankee fan would say this, is that the Guardians players were afraid of the Yankees. They weren't. They were not afraid. That's how David Fry walked it off. This team plays fearlessly. I'm not afraid of the Tigers. I'm not afraid of anybody.
So, obviously, people have been talking about, you know, the pitching's been so great on the starting end that you're due for regression at some point. I'm looking at the playoffs and trying to find a three-man rotation to throw out there in the first series. I think it's easy. Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee. John, who'd you be picking for the third spot?
Man, I think it's Parker Messick. You know, I think it's the guy that's pitching tonight. I believe in him. I think that this guy, being a left-hander, certainly helps. I know Cantillo's there too, but I would think that in a third and deciding game, if it got there, that you could go with Messick and Ciccone and bridge it together and make it work that way. Messick, I mean, guys, when you look at what he's done since he's been called up, he has been really, really solid. And he's limited damage. And you know what I like about Messick the most? He really doesn't walk people. He doesn't run into the walk issues. His last three starts, he's totaled two walks. And that's to 17 strikeouts. 17 strikeouts to two walks over Messick's last three starts. I love that. I love that he's got command. I love that he doesn't put people on with free passes. Because at the end of the day, that's where the regression is going to come from. You know, and it almost happened last night. Like, Tanner Bibee ran into trouble because he walked people. He was not commanding his fastball at times. It would appear that he was overthrowing it. Obviously, Messick being younger, you know, I get it. He's a 24-year-old guy, and this is new for him. But he's a hot arm right now, and he's throwing the baseball really well. I mean, this whole rotation is. But I would go with Messick because I think that he just fits the part of the number three. I don't trust Cantillo right now in that role, to be honest with you guys. I would trust him in a bridge role. And Ciccone, you know, it's been a mixed bag. When he's been off, it's not good. You know, and now he's been on the past couple weeks for the most part. But when Ciccone has not been good, he makes mistakes. Messick has shown us in the sample size that we have, albeit limited, that might help him in the playoffs. It really might from a scouting perspective. I mean, he hasn't seen some of these teams and have not seen him. I would go with Messick. I really would.
All right, John, we got about 45 seconds here. Does the Guardians-Tigers divisional race add more juice to this Lions game on Sunday?
Hell yeah, why not? Yeah, Cleveland-Detroit for the barge. Yeah, I think it does. I think it only adds more fever, you know. It certainly, I already have Detroit sports fans texting me saying the real game is Sunday. That's how much they've given up on their baseball team, and I just send them back the meme of at least we're not Detroit from the elite Cleveland tourism video. You know what, guys? Sunday is obviously a huge test for the Browns. At some point, they have to find some level of an offensive rhythm. If they don't find an offensive rhythm, then they're not going to win on Sunday because Detroit's just too potent for even an outstanding defense to keep them at bay. But you know what? The Browns have the best defense in the National Football League right now. And I think in my mindset is that needs to be good enough for them to push the over past three-win Wilson, because three-win Wilson, they've already got one.
Three-win Wilson. That sounds delicious. John is going to be on NBC Sports on Sunday. He's going to be making his Football Night in America debut this weekend, which is a huge, huge to-do. John, we're so happy for you. Cleveland is
Thank
so
you,
proud of you, buddy, and love the energy you brought today, as you do every time you're on with us. Appreciate you, bud.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, fellas. I get to do Browns-Lions highlights on Sunday night. We'll see how that goes.
All right, no crying if it's a bad game. Okay, buddy. John Fanta there of NBC Sports. On the Fan Hotline, we'll react to what he had to say about your Guardians in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I will say, we're just talking, you know, does the Tigers-Guardians divisional race add more juice to the Lions? And the one thing I haven't said is there's just no crossover between the rivalries. I think that is that doesn't mean, by the way, a win wouldn't make it 3% sweeter, but that would also just be because a Browns win going with the Guardians, taking the division and then hosting a playoff game at some point next week. Well, that's just good fun.
Yeah. Have to turn on the mic.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm in a spot where it's like, yeah, well, I've only been doing this for a check. Like 7 months full time.
I forget once a week. Don't worry. I've been doing it since I was 21.
But it's in a spot though. Like the rivalry doesn't cross over, but it, in a way, this week it does.
Like, is it because you want it to, not because it actually does?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's okay if that's the answer.
No, it is the answer. It 100% is the answer. Like, it doesn't cross. Like, there's no hatred between Browns Lions. In fact, there's almost like...
It's more self-hatred.
Yeah, right. I was going to say...
Mutual almost, self-hatred.
There's almost like, not a brotherhood, but like, you look across it and it's like that team also went 0-16 and has suffered basically as bad as we have as a football team.
There's also envy, right?
Like, yeah, that they've gotten better and we haven't.
Well, no, it's also how they've gotten better. Like, if we liked Freddie Kitchens because he said whoopity hell and talked about drinking beer, I mean, Dan Campbell's this like a the same kind of football guy, except he actually can coach, right? Like, yeah. The style of play that Detroit plays is incredibly physical, buoyed by an incredible offensive line and one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. Sound familiar to the Browns' success when John Dorsey was here? Oh, hey, the architect of some of your success in John Dorsey is also the architect of their success. Like, there's so many parallels. I think if there's any juice between the Browns and Lions, it's, man, that could have been us on some level.
Yeah, it's also, when you talk about the way they've done it, too, it's like, you kind of stay true to the vibe and the personality of your city if you're the Detroit, which is a similar vibe and personality to the city of Cleveland, right? It's the middle class, the working class of, okay, Dan Campbell's somebody that you'd say would represent the city of Detroit. And if he was here, if he was here, would say he probably represents the city of Cleveland. The way that you look at Nick Chubb, he represents it. The way that you can look at even Myles Garrett to agree and to say, okay, he represents by working as hard as he does the city of Cleveland.
He's also a blue collar head coach, and Kevin's an Ivy Leaguer. Right. And we're a blue collar town, not necessarily an Ivy League town.
Yeah, like, we've been sold on it has to be analytics. That's the way that football has gone. It has to be the offensive guru. And while the Lions had Ben Johnson, they're also proving right now that the offense works without him. And it's like, okay, so you're basically making it work just off of the rah-rah stuff. You're making it work because people want to run through a wall for Dan Campbell.
Yeah, culture. The thing that we feel like has not been consistently there, that they say, from the analytics community, say isn't a real thing. The only culture is winning. And I actually disagree. Like that, like, in fairness, the Browns did have some culture when the bottom was 7-10 or 8-9. Once you have 3-14, whatever culture you did had went out the window. Because I think there's a thin line between 7-10 and 10-7. There's not a thin line between 7-10 and 3-14.
Yeah, it's a massive difference. But like, I guess it's where it is. Because when you ask, like, is it basically me fabricating it, right? Is it because I want it to happen? Yes, it is. Some way the rivalry, and obviously it's less because you're in the same division. There's a natural rivalry there with the Tigers. That's almost fabricated in the way of the Tigers making this more than what it is with the Guardians, too. Like, I don't like the Tigers. I also look at basically every other team in the division and go, I don't know that I dislike the Tigers a whole lot more than I dislike any of them. Like, right now, maybe a little.
Oh, I do.
But it's because of the right now.
No. That's also, you're a little young for this, but the Jim Leland years, there was a lot of, I mean, that team is pretty cocky. With Miggy Cabrera, with Dontrell, Jim himself is not a, he's a plain-spoken dude as well, and so he said some stuff that we've not forgotten. So, like, of any of the teams, like, there was a minute in the mid the early aughts with the Twins. Not consistently with the Twins, though. The White Sox, not since 03, and that was like a blip, or 05, I think it was. That was like a blip. The Royals, they haven't been good hardly but three times. And by the way, the time they were best in the last 40 years was when you just had the time you stunk. This is like the Tigers, and it's also the proximity thing.
Yeah.
Like, I can't drive to Kansas City on a whim to go see a game between the two towns. Same thing with Minnesota. Chicago, maybe, but I'm still staying in Chicago if it's a 6-10 first pitch or a 7-10 first pitch. Whereas in Detroit, okay, that game ends at midnight, or sorry, that game ends at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I can be at home in bed by 1. Like, I think all of those things stack up. But for some reason, only the Tigers and a little bit of the Pistons.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, I guess for me, being younger and, like, obviously, like,
I get it. I remember, you're youthful, you jerk.
I'm just saying, I remember, like, the Miggy times. I remember when the Tigers were, they're obviously not as good right now as they may have appeared to be in the beginning of the season.
Cleared.
They're still all right.
They're okay.
Yeah, but, like, I remember the times where they were good and competing for a World Series with Verlander and everybody else. But it's like, it's been so much of the rivalry with the Tigers over the past decade plus has been that's little brother. Like, we own them. It doesn't feel as much to me as like a true rivalry.
This is such a again, I will not punish you for being not you don't remember everything of the Miggy Tigers. Because I will tell you what Hosey does to them, Miguel Cabrera did to you for 14, 15 years.
I remember going to the games with my dad being young and having every time I go, it's a Tigers game and Miggy ruins it for me.
I'm going to tell you, though, it really pissed me off. Because remember, I was most of my baseball life, I'm used to running this division in one way or another. Mm-hmm. I was. You know, 94 to 01. Every year, even if you didn't win the division, you were a wild card team. You went farther than anyone else around you went. And then you had like the early wedge years. You still had 93 wins here. You had the almost World Series in 2007. And then from the ashes of that, the Tigers took over. And then I didn't really hate this part. They traded for Johnny Peralta. They did this, that, the other. And no, I hate that team. Yeah, I do. That organization annoys me. They're also the only team in this division that acts more like a big market team than Minnesota, Kansas City, and even Chicago, even though they actually are a big market team. They've occasionally, you know, they've signed Miggy at points to a $300 million deal, whatever it was. Verlander had a huge contract for a minute. Like, it's funny to then juxtapose this to the Browns game, because I don't think the Guardians-Tigers does anything for that game on Sunday. Because that game has juice by virtue of the fact that Browns are coming off a win. And the Lions, you can start to do, well, the Lions also have a short week. And, oh, by the way, beating them would give you some sort of sense of self because you've just beaten Green Bay and Detroit, even though those are out-of-conference wins and don't help you the same way if it was beating teams in your own division or in their own conference. So it's this weird spot of it's like, I'm also just like, well, that game only really has juice for me if the Browns kind of surprise people and make that a close game and even win that game.
So is this just a Me Chronically Online thing where I'm just constantly living in like a half Detroit, like a Twitter space, basically, where I'm just constantly seeing that? Because, again, that feeling of I know how they'll react if the Browns beat the Lions, that does something for me. Like, that fulfills something with me of being like, okay, so I'm watching you all crash out right now over the Tigers. Like, that's already as much fun as can be. If I can just add on one extra thing, if it can be the straw that breaks the camel back, and just watch you sit there and be like, that's it. Cleveland owns us. Like, that fulfills me now.
Maybe this is a better way to put it then from where I'm thinking here. Because again, it's how you feel. I can't tell you how to feel. But so I look at the Guardians-Tigers game as the end-all be-all tonight. Finish off the sweep, finish off the division, finish off, you know, potentially the three seed, like do this, right? And then anything that happens positively in the Browns and Lions game is a kicker. So it doesn't add juice to that game, but it's like I'm, as a Cleveland fan, I'm playing with house money on Sunday. Because we are coming off a win that nobody thought we should got, that they should have gotten, which is a little fluky. And oh boy, we just tattooed your ass. So anything you say to me about, oh, how'd that Lions game go? I'll be like, how'd that Tiger series go? How'd both those Tiger series go? By the way, we're probably going to see you this next week. Like, I guess we're in this rare situation where it does feel like, oh, hot damn. Like, well, I can just let the Browns roll out on Sunday. We'll see how it goes. But I'm a little Teflon because things are going so well. Okay, it's like if your personal life is going really well, and the professional life isn't. It's like, that's fine. That's just work, right? Like, I'll deal with work when I got to work, but everything's so gravy here, life is undefeated. That's kind of where I am right now.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we're both making it into win-win scenarios. It's just like we're taking different paths to get to a win-win scenario. Either way,
I like my path better.
Well, I like my path better.
I think we all know whose path is better.
I have a longer path.
Ooh. Big shooter over here. La-ti-da-ti-da. Nim Jaber saying Victor Martinez. Every Guardians fan, every Indians fan knows exactly what that means. Yes. I think it's switched around for Jim Neighbors, who was Gomer Pyle. That was a show in the 60s. Jake?
No clue.
Oh, I hate you a little bit. Cool Ray in Bedford. How we doing, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Living the dream, buddy. What you got?
Yo, so I heard you guys say something about rivalries and stuff like that with Detroit and the Guardians and, you know, the Browns. So I look at, like, you know, I'm 52, so I just think the word rivalries is dead. I just think, like, players are bouncing around so much. When I grew up, I think when you grew up, Nick, players stayed on the team, so we got to know they were, like, part of our family. Now they're just bouncing around, so I think loyalty just comes with the team. This thing with the Guardians is exciting because we were out of it, and we've never seen a team implode the way Detroit is imploding. So, yeah, it's exciting, but I don't think it's a rivalry. I don't think nothing what we're seeing is a rivalry. I think with my Browns, I think that Stefanski and the defense aren't talking. I think that the defense is trying to win, while I think the offense is just trying to not to play to win. I don't want to say lose, but they're just not playing to.
I actually kind of I understand what you're saying, Cool Ray, and I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for weighing in. I think the defense is doing everything they can to win every game, and I do think the offense is playing not to lose, and that is different than trying to win. And I understand why they're doing it. The problem is you're facing a lot of teams that you should just try and win. You should just try. And again, that's not saying that they're not literally trying to win, but they think the best way to win is by boxing up Joe and, you know, controlling the football and then just allowing the defense to win you the game. But if you're going to beat Detroit, you have to win in all three phases of the game. You kind of got lucky beating Green Bay with one of the phases of the game tied behind your back. 216-474-0092. Does the Guardians-Tigers divisional race add more juice to the Lions game? Quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.